from John, chapter 15, verses 13 through 17. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of the Lord.
Just to really mess things up, I'm going to read the lesson at the beginning of the sermon today. Rarely done. These are two verses from the books of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. From the 17th chapter, the 17th verse, a friend loves at all times, and kinsfolk are born to share adversity. Then, 1824. Some friends play at friendship, but a true friend sticks closer than one's nearest kin. You may know that as a friend who stands closer than a brother. King Solomon had lived for a time chasing happiness by fame, wealth, even sexual conquest. By the end of his life, he realized the folly of his ways. You might remember I said a few weeks ago, loneliness stalks where the buck stops. That applies to kings. And 2 weeks ago, we saw where Solomon had learned that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that wisdom taught him that in this life, the treasure of all surpassing value is friendship. Companionship lightens the human load. Our age is filled with false friendships, with betrayals, and with shaming. We live in an age where knee-jerk reactions against people that are labeled as disagreeing with us quickly escalate into ugly hostilities. Given that many countries now possess the ability, the potential to obliterate each other with nuclear weapons, I can think of nothing as important on an earthly level as building bridges of friendship, especially with people different than us. What is real friendship? Laying down your life for your friends. This is what Jesus did. How do we obtain this priceless treasure? We learn from Jesus how to be a friend. Now I'm going to tell you a story. To win 4 gold medals at a single Olympic Games is astonishing enough. However, to do so as a black person in 1936 at a tense Olympic Games hosted by Adolf Hitler, it was almost beyond belief. Yet Jesse Owens, most of us know, did exactly that. You may think you know the story of Jesse Owens in the Berlin Olympics, but if you asked him, the most important part of that story was a story of a friendship birthed on the stadium ground between two men the world said could never be friends. Lutz Long appeared to fulfill everyone's preconceptions of success. He was tall, blonde, blue-eyed, and had a friendly personality. Add to that, he was smart. He studied law at the prestigious University of Leipzig. What was more, he was a tremendous athlete. Even while excelling at his studies, he competed in the long jump and held the European record at this event. Can you blame him for looking forward to the Olympic Games? He hoped his family would be able to watch him because the games were being held in his home country. It was 1936. Adolf Hitler had come to power and personally considered Lutz Long to be the poster boy of his racist Aryan model of the master race. Lutz Long just wanted to compete against the best in the world. He believed in the ideals of brotherhood in athletic competition, which transcended nationalities and politics. Initially, Hitler had said that Jews and people of color would not be allowed to compete. But when the United States and Western Europe united in their plan to withdraw from the Olympics unless that ban were lifted, Hitler gave in. Everybody at the Olympics knew who Jesse Owens was. He had recently recorded what's called the greatest 45 minutes in sports, where he set three world records and tied a fourth during a single college track meet. Pretty good day. And he was competing in all four of those events at the Berlin Olympics. Lutz Long was expected to be his stiffest competition in the long jump, but Jesse's world record, 26 feet, 8 1/4 inches, was substantially better than Long's personal best. It was time for the qualifying jumps to see who would progress to the finals, from which the medals would be awarded. Lutz Long watched as the first two of Jesse Owens' qualifying jumps were judged fouls by the judges, who happened to be German. They said Jesse's foot went past the line, which one had to take off in front of. Many people suspected the judges were under orders from the Nazi Party to keep Jesse Owens from qualifying. This disturbed Lutz Long. Then Lutz saw Jesse doing something. You'll find out what later. And he decided to do something himself. Lutz approached Jesse and struck up a conversation. Can you imagine the young German speaking with an African American, pre-war Germany? You know? You'd almost not believe there was such a photo, but you know, there were reporters everywhere. And I love the tone of this photo. A genuine friendship was struck up in that most unlikely of places. You know, we see the personal natures, they lean into each other, and you can tell they're kind of talking in soft tones to each other. Private conversation in full view of tens of thousands. They spoke of their respective backgrounds, their dreams, their families, and their sport. This was no little thing for Jesse Owens. We might idolize his memory now, but he was a young man who felt very vulnerable where he was at that time. He felt nervous. He was acutely aware of the Nazis' desire to prove Aryan superiority, especially over a black man. But Jesse had faced plenty of bigotry at home. But he immediately took to his strongest competitor as a friend. And this next photo I love. As any good friendship, they laugh together. I'd love to know what the joke was. Lutz Long knew how to start a friendship. He built a rapport with Jesse, and then he took a risk and gave the best long jumper in the world some advice. He said, "You should be able to qualify with your eyes closed." Referring to Jesse's first two jumps. And for the next few moments, the black son of a sharecropper and the white model of Nazi manhood, close quote, chatted, and Long made a suggestion. Since the qualification distance was only 23 feet, 5 1/2 inches, why not make a mark several inches before the starting block or the takeoff board and jump from there, just to play it safe? Owens did just that and qualified easily. In the finals, with Hitler in attendance, they traded Olympic record jumps back and forth. Hello. It might have been good for Jesse that he had last ups. On his third and final jump, he set an Olympic record that would stand for 25 years. Just an inch short of his world record. And after the event, they embraced and went arm in arm around the Olympic Stadium, much to the displeasure of the Nazi officials. They stood next to each other on the podium as they received their medals. In the gospel lesson that Lee read for us, our Savior said, "There is no greater love than that someone lay down their lives for their friends." Of course, Jesus showed us exactly that kind of love when he surrendered his life to the cross so that you and I and all who would believe in him could find forgiveness for both the wrong we've done and the good we've failed to do. Lutz Long may very well have been laying down his life for a new friend when, as a German citizen in the days of Hitler, he publicly befriended an African American during the qualifying jumps. He certainly risked his life a few days later when he did a victory lap with Jesse, arm in arm. When somebody gifts you with their friendship, will you respond in kind? Will you allow yourselves to be the friend who stays closer than a brother? I ask this because you've only heard half the story. After the games were over, Lutz and Jesse stayed in touch with letters. In 1939, Lutz received his Doctor of Law degree and began working as an attorney. Ironically, Long was required to join the Nazi Party and the Nazi stormtroopers in order to practice law. Then he was called up for military service in 1941 as a military sports coach, but was transferred to a flak battalion in Sicily in April 1943. Before the Allies invaded Sicily, Lutz had a sense of foreboding. Surrounded by the Sicilian desert, he wrote one last letter to Jesse Owens. Its imperfect English reads as follows. "I am here, Jesse, where it seems there is only the dry sand and the wet blood. I do not fear so much for myself, my dear Jesse. I fear for my wife, who is home, and my young son, Carl, who has never really known his father. My heart tells me, if I be honest with you, that this is the last letter I shall ever write. If it is so, I ask you something. It is something so very important to me. It is, you go to Germany when this war is done, someday find my Carl, and tell him about his father. Tell him, Jesse, what times were like when we were not separated by war. I am saying, tell him how things can be between men on this earth. If you do this something for me, this thing I need the most to know will be done. I do something for you now. I tell you something I know you want to hear, and it is true. That hour in Berlin when I first spoke to you, when you had your knee upon the ground, I knew that you were in prayer. Then, I know not how I know, now I do. I know it is never by chance that we come together. I come to you that hour in 1936 for purpose more than Der Berliner Olympiad. And you, I believe, will read this letter, while it should not be possible to reach you ever, for a purpose more important than even friendship, our friendship. I believe this shall come about because I think now that God will make it come about. This is what I have to tell you, Jesse. I think I might believe in God. And I pray to him, even while it should not be possible for this to reach you ever, these words I write will still be read by you." your brother, Lutz. I'm not sure I could ever read as poignant a letter. Lutz Long was severely wounded in the invasion of that island and was left behind by the Nazi army during their retreat to the mainland. He passed away in an American military hospital shortly thereafter. After those Olympic Games where their friendship was born, he and Jesse never saw each other again on this earth. Lutz Long was posthumously awarded the Pierre de Coubertin Medal from the International Olympic Committee for his sportsmanship in 1936. His European record for the long jump stood till 1956. The letter reached Owens a year after it was sent. Lutz Long had used that last opportunity he had to testify to his newfound faith in God. That wouldn't have pleased Hitler either. Did you know that Jesse Owens wrote a book called The Man Who Outran Hitler? I love the title. He wrote for young people. I knew she'd find the cover. I knew she would. To encourage them to do their best, which he said included having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Clearly, Jesse had given his witness of Jesus to Lutz Long. Lutz knew that it would please Jesse to know that Lutz had become a believer. What do you do? What do you do when people give you the precious gift of their friendship? After the war, as per Long's request, Jesse Owens met and became firm friends with Lutz's son, Carl Long, eventually serving as best man at Carl's wedding. A British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. The winning definition read, "A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out." Lutz came into Jesse when he felt utterly alone, when everyone else seemed against him. In turn, when ruin threatened everything that mattered to Lutz Long, he was confident he could trust his precious family to the one man who had shown himself a true friend. When the world came crashing down on Lutz, Jesse came in and stood in Lutz's place and told Carl about his father and how things can be between men on this earth. As for Jesse Owens, he later said, "You could melt down all the medals and cups I have, and they wouldn't be a plating on the 24-carat friendship I felt for Lutz Long. They wouldn't be a plating on the solid gold friendship I felt for Lutz Long." Robert Tell, I love the story. It's sad, of course, that Lutz Long died for a cause he didn't believe in, that wasn't worth the life given for it. But it's extremely beautiful that he had used his last opportunity to affirm a friendship that transcended nationalism and politics. And as his life faced a sudden and abrupt ending, he thought about his wife and he thought about his son. And if I put myself in his shoes, I believe he could reasonably expect that family and friends would find a way to care for his wife as best they could. But who would help his son become the man Lutz would have wanted Carl to become if Lutz had been around? Lutz knew that Germany was losing a great number of men his age. Who would fill the father void for Carl? Who would fill the father void for Carl? Who will fill the father void for today's Carls? Lutz thought of his friend Jesse and knew he could ask him to fill in. Jesse Owens is a hero not because he could run fast and jump far. He's a hero because he learned from Jesus Christ how to be a friend. Whether he had the last verse of our call to worship in mind or not, Jesse Owens put Colossians 3:12 into practice. He sought to be Jesus' representative to Lutz Long, and he clothed himself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. He did not shun Lutz when their nations became enemies. Of course, all those qualities came into play as he took young Carl Long into his heart. But he had to have shown those qualities of friendship to Lutz when they met and in their correspondence in order for Lutz to trust him with his only son. At the beginning, I said that friends are life's treasure. And that to obtain this priceless treasure, we need to learn from Jesus how to be a friend. We clothe ourselves with the traits of Christ. And we allow ourselves to be inconvenienced in order to be Jesus with skin on to the special people God brings into our lives. Carol and I have been part of the Curcio movement for decades. It's a retreat movement. And one of the watchwords you hear often on such a retreat is, make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. Make a friend, reach out with kindness to someone new in your life. Be a friend, be Christ-like in attitude and availability. Bring a friend to Christ. In the last letter he would ever write, Lutz Long, dying as a young man, made sure he told Jesse Owens that he had become a Christian believer. There's not a word about sports in that letter between two Olympic medalists. Instead, it's about something much more important. Lutz had found his place in this world, but had found his eternal home because Jesse Owens had become his friend. God helping, let us go and do likewise. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the witness of Jesse and of Lutz. We thank you for a reminder of how things can be between people on this earth. We thank you that your power is greater than nationalism and politics. And we want to make ourselves utterly available for your Spirit to work through us in the relationships you give us the privilege of having. Lord, remind us of the surpassing value of friendship in this life and of the opportunity it is to bring glory to you. We thank you for the surpassing value, the surpassing friendship of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us, a life more valuable than any life we could offer. Lord, we need you to change us so that the qualities that make for friendship are words that come to the mind of everyone who would describe any and all of us. Thank you for reminding us that it is the relationships to love you and love one another that you put us on this earth for. Thank you. Guide us, help us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.